Kaya FM with Kokuletso Mfuphi on Kaya FM 95.9.
25 minutes before we hit the 6 o'clock mark, and you are listening to Kaya Biz on a very special conversation we're having today around all things franchise in South Africa. It is a phenomenal sector which has seen significant growth, and as we are in conversation with Dumisani Beng, who's the head of franchise at APSA, we do understand even in difficult economic times it still manages to perform quite solidly. We are taking your questions on all things franchise, so dial in 086-000-959 is the number to dial, or tweet us at KFM Talk at Kukumfupi and use the hashtag KayaBiz, and you could be like Manolan Pele, who we have seen and monitored his tweets coming through on the show today. But Dumisani, coming back to what we've highlighted earlier, you mentioned it's critical that you do your research, understand the market and environment that you're looking to go into, and given the call we got from T from Midrand just a moment ago, the failure rate that we see within franchising, just how resilient has it been? And again, when we take a look at these failures, is there some kind of corrective action that franchisees can take against the franchisors to basically ensure that there's some kind of return on their investment?
Well, you know, so first and foremost, the failure rate is very, very low, you know, in the franchising space, you know, because...
Can we quantify it?
I don't have the figures at, sure, on the top of my head, you know, but the Franchise Association publishes, you know, a survey that they do on an annual basis, and you will see that more than 75% of those businesses will break even within a year.
Wow.
You know, which is quite, you know, a big statistics, you know, because not all the startups, you know, would be able to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, quite resilient from that perspective. But you asking me a question on as to what recourse, you know, does a franchisee have, you know, against the franchise. So remember, you know, franchisor gives you a proven business a method, you know, where you also have to play a role, you know, in terms of adhering to the standards and also doing your own, you know, local marketing, you know, and canvassing, you know, support, you know, for your business. You know, so you're still an entrepreneur and you must articulate that entrepreneurship per se. You know, so it is not always the franchisor's fault, you know, if and when, you know, a business fails, you know, and therefore, you know, you can't immediately say, you know, what recourse, you know, there is. But where there is proven non-compliance, you know, on the part of the franchisor, you know, and, you know, based on what they promised in terms of their disclosure documents and their franchise agreement, you know, they haven't been, you know, able to support you the way, you know, you should have. Obviously, the courts of law, you know, are there, you know, for you to go and seek redress, you know, and address those, you know. So just like any other business, you've got that, you know. But I still have to say, you know, that a franchise doesn't guarantee success. You know, your success ultimately lies in how you articulate yourself as a business person as well.
So this duality, we both have a role to play. Now, I'll come back to that question about recourse, of course, from a finance point of view, given that you do represent a financial institution. We've asked you to dial in, Afropolitans, and Maria from Soweto, you've done exactly that. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Dumisani?
Hi, Dumisani, how are you?
I'm very well, and you?
Okay, my concern is I saw another franchise, Bangububo, which it looks like it's a well-doing business, but I read something from Hello Peter. Somebody has paid in money, and these people are not responding to the person who paid in the money. And, yeah, in that instance, what do you do? Because you're interested, you contact them, and they'll be telling you, you know, what to do. But at the end, they don't deliver.
Maria, just very quickly, I just want to find out, have you paid any money? Or these are just comments that you've read on
Facebook? No, I haven't paid. I read from, you know, one of the people who paid in money.
Sure.
But the franchise, the people who are responsible for that franchise are not delivering, and they're not responding to their email. And
perfect. We get the gist of the question. Dumisani, your response?
I'll try, you know, to stay away from talking about anybody's brand. You know, ultimately, you know, the discussions and the agreements that are there between franchisor and prospective franchisee in this space, you know, would be governed, you know, by, you know, some documents that are in there. I don't know what happened in this space. All I could say, you know, is that So ultimately, you know, the person, you know, that feels aggrieved needs, you know, to contact the franchisor, you know, and see if it can be rectified. If it doesn't get rectified, you know, you can still sought, you know, the help of institutions, you know, such as, you know, a FASA, you know, and or, you know, legal representatives, you know. So it's difficult for me to speak to, you know, the issue about Cuckoo Box. I know Cuckoo Box, you know, which is one of, you know, upcoming, you know, black-owned, you know, franchising groups, you know, and to my collection, they've done very, very well so far in a very, very short space of time. But I can't speak to the issues of compliance that have happened between this prospective franchisee and them, you know. So there would be a lot of things they agreed to, and it's best handled, you know, the legal route, you know, that governs it.
Maria, I think Hello Peter is one place to get an opinion from, but obviously engage with the company and, of course, other institutions like the Franchise Association of South Africa mentioned by Butumsani. We'll continue with this conversation in just a moment, but keep your questions coming in. We'll drive this until the end of the show on 086-000-959. 18 minutes to go before we hit the 6 o'clock mark. Let's get your latest traffic update. We always look to address pertinent issues here on Kai FM Talk and allow you to join in the conversation and really steer the ship at times. And you can do exactly that just after 6 o'clock on Today with John Pullman. Dr. John, good evening. Good to see you as always. What's on the show today?
So, Google, hi to you and to everyone else. The DA has asked Parliament to schedule an urgent discussion in the House about what we can do to get South Africa's economy firing again. I think we need our own process, not Kai FM, but in public conversation, to actually talk about what ideas are out there. Because there will be some huge ideas, which political parties, of course, love presenting to us. But then there are lots of smaller ideas as well. So tonight on the show, we're going to have a couple of economists join us. One of them is Professor Simon Roberts from UJ. And we're going to ask Afropolitans, what would you do? Either in your own space, what would you do about your own circumstances, or what would you like to see done in the country on your behalf?
I like
that. We'll start the economic conversation and see where it goes.
Always easy to point fingers and say they must and you must, but it's another thing when the ball is in your court, right?
I think it's a bit of that, but I think political parties often frame their economic proposals as in opposition to the party that they're looking to unseat, either locally or provincially or on a national level. Doesn't mean the ideas aren't thought through. It doesn't mean that the ideas don't have merit. But it does mean that the conversations we have are often limited by the fact that it's part of a political contest. So we didn't invite any politicians tonight. We're going to see what we get.
I like that. Interesting T-shirt colors that will be present. No blue, no red, no yellow. But of course, perhaps picking up on the, is that lilac or mauve? A nice shade of purple. Lilac-y. But a beautiful shirt nonetheless, Dr. John. You can expect all of that and more later this evening from 6 till 7 p.m. on Today with John Pullman.
With Kokoletso Mfuphi on Kaya FM 95.9.
Wednesdays on the show are usually conversations regarding how best you can create your wealth by tapping into your entrepreneurial spirit. And one particular way to do that is through exploring the business of franchising. This has been a conversation that we've been hosting today with Dumsani Bengu, who's the head of franchise at APSA. And we invite you to share your thoughts, suggestions, fears, and of course, even opportunities that you might be keen to get into. So dial us on 086-000-959 or tweet us at KayaFMTalk, at Kukumfupi. Be sure to use the hashtag KayaBiz. Now, earlier on in the show, Butumsani, we really touched on, you know, some of the concerns, the research that needs to be tapped into. And both Maria and T had, you know, highlighted the fact that, you know, they want to explore the franchising environment, but have some of their reservations given the news flow around certain franchises that they've witnessed. But tell us where we can find the sweet spots. We say that this sector is so resilient. We say it's so strong when it comes to making a positive return on investment. You mentioned the quick service restaurants, and we think KFC, McDonald's, fish and chips, and I understand the costings associated with opening up such franchises ranges anything from, what, 500,000 up to 6 million plus?
More than that.
Oh, even more. So tell us the numbers. What should we be considering, and are there new sectors that are coming up, such as the beauty industry, too?
Yeah. Well, you know, so firstly, there's the traditional your subsectors, you know, that have always been there. You know, so one thinks of retail, you know, so for as long as you live, you will always go to a Pick and Pay or a Spa, you know, and those offer, you know, brilliant franchising opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, and they are doing quite well, you know, so the investment costs, you know, could be high, you know, in those, you know, because...
How high is high? Let's talk real numbers. There are some people with pensions out there who consider going into franchises, and some end up favorably and others suffer.
Yes, you look depending on the size of the shop, the location, you know, sure. And the offering, whether you've got a liquor store, you know, included in there, you know, but it could be, you know, anything, you know, from about 7 million, and it could go, you know, to 20s and 30s, you know, really depending,
okay.
You know, on the location, you know, but what matters, you know, is not so much the investment outlay, you know, it's the return on investment that you get. And we find that most of these franchising opportunities, you know, give you very, very high return on investments in excess of 20%, you know, with an average sitting around 25%. You also have, you know, a lot of opportunities, you know, coming in the fuel space.
Yes.
You want to own or operate a filling station.
Sure, but a lot of us are worried about the safety there, right? There was a time when, you know, there were significant concerns about, you know, vehicles coming in, leaving and not paying for their fuel. And of course, when you have ATMs, I understand there was a time when those were some of the security considerations to bear in mind.
Like any business, you know, so business, there's always risks, you know, but there, you know, especially being the franchising space, you know, you've got the benefit of franchisors. So all the oil companies, you know, have got a very, very stringent, you know, HSEQ, health, safety, environment, and quality protection strategies, you know, and activities, you know, that are geared at protecting not just you, the investor, you know, who is the entrepreneur there, but also the customers that patronize those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so risk will always be there, you know, but, you know, there are very, very strong measures, you know, that are applied in those businesses, you know, to ensure that it protects both colleague, you know, and customers.
Sure.
You mentioned earlier on, you know, that there's the space of health and beauty, you know, so you will remember, you know, the erstwhile lipstick index, you know,
yeah.
That ladies don't care, you know, what the recession is, you know, what economic downturn is.
I can relate.
They will always buy that lipstick. They will always buy that mascara. They will always buy, you know, those things that makes them look
it makes
beautiful.
Us feel better.
Of course, you know, and we love that, you know, so we want, you know, to see ladies looking like that. Now, that industry is a beautiful one, you know, because it's highly, highly resilient, you know. It doesn't matter what the economy, what direction the economy faces, you know, there, you know, there's always you know, a great performance, you know, in that industry. And, you know, obviously, you know, the new sectors, you know, as you indicated, the app-based, you know, so which is really, you know, the most robust space. I mean, you're beginning to see a lot of businesses coming into that space. And investments are much, much lower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, there you can, if you buy into an Uber, you know, you just need to purchase a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, which would cost you, I don't know, you know, anything, 100K, you know, or just a little bit more. And already you're in business and you can always grow, you know. So franchising loves the concept of multiple units. Franchising, multiple store, multiple branches, you know, and all that. So, you know, it's not bad. I mean, it's a good idea to start, you know, with one, you know, if you don't have a big capital outlay, and then you can grow it because the returns, you know, are quite robust in that space. So there's ample opportunities. Now, franchising has got about 17 industries, you know, that employ franchising, you know, as a channel route to market.
Mm-hmm.
Largely, you know, the huge amount of activity tends to concentrate around four, you know, which is the fuel, retail, restaurants and QSR, and the services sector. You find in there, you know, the auto spares, you know, groups, you know, such as the likes of Goldwagon,
yeah.
You know, that, you know, are doing fantastic, you know, I mean, their returns, they're very, very high. And
talk to us about those returns. You mentioned that some of these companies break even within a year. What are we looking at, like, what are we looking at when it comes to a growth of 3 years, 5 years, and maybe even 10 years?
Well, the payback period, you know, is anything between 2, you know, and 3 years, you know, so the bank normally will give you, let's say, a 5-year loan, you know, you tend to, depending on how you run, you manage your money, you know, you could pay that back within 2 years or 3 years, you know. So our experience is that already by year three, a person is already coming back to us and saying, look, you know, I want to add the second store, you know, can we relook into the funding model and all that? That's how robust they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as I indicated earlier on, you know, roughly around 25% return on investment.
Wow.
If you talk net profit, you know, so you're talking EBITDA.
Earnings before interest tax.
Yeah, you know, you're talking somewhere around 15%. You know, so definitely, you know, good business. And in there, you've already paid yourself a salary. You know, that's just your profit, you know, over and above that. You know.
You mentioned the entrepreneurs coming back to refinance their businesses in order to expand on opportunities there. Mm-hmm. And some of the figures that we threw around, you know, anything from the hundreds of thousands into the millions.
Mm-hmm.
Is it easy to get access to financing in this particular space? And what are some of the credentials we need to bear in mind? Is it best to go in as an individual? Are we seeing more stock files or investment clubs also clubbing together to enter into this market? And what are the trends like with regard to accessibility to capital?
Well, you know, franchising presents your best opportunity, you know, to get a bank loan. You know, banks generally, you know, prefer franchising. Why? You know, because you're not in business for yourself, only by yourself. You know, you are in there for yourself, but with a big brother, you know, looking after you and making sure it provides the training.
So I wouldn't have to put up my house as collateral, would I?
You probably would, you know. Yeah. So remember, what the bank requires, you know, from you will be based on the risk profile,
sure,
you know, that you present, you know. So there are candidates that come and the bank says, you know what, in franchising, we love, you know, to do cash flow based funding, which on the strength of the cash flows, you know, that are projected for that business, we then say, you know, we can accept a gearing, you know, that is higher than a 50% split, you know, as in normal cases,
mm-hmm,
you know, and also you may not have to burden, you know, some of your other physical assets. But remember, you know, that the less security that you give to the bank, it means your risk profile goes up higher,
mm-hmm,
and banks will always price for risk. You know, that's the model, you know.
Makes
so
sense.
So if your risk profile is higher, you're probably going to have to pay, you know, higher interest rates and all that. So ultimately, as an investor, you have to think about all those things. It probably helps you, you know, if you really believe in the power of that business, you know, to put in some security. It reduces your risk rating, you know, and then you can get, you know, very, very good interest rates, you know, and other offerings, you know, so, yeah.
Afropolitans, we're speaking to Tumsani Beng, who's the head of franchise at APSA, talking all things franchising and really getting a gist as to how best we can enter into this environment. Some of the other barriers to entry that I wanted us to touch on is, of course, looking at the environment regarding policy, quota, contracts. Are those some considerations that the banks actually, you know, take into consideration?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by quotas, you know, so a lot of people tend to...
My brother wanting me to be part of his company in order to boost his business.
Okay, partnerships,
yeah,
you know, and fellow shareholders. No, you know, so we don't. We don't say you have to be a sole trader or you have to be an individual shareholder. You know, you can come as a group. You know, we don't make those decisions for you. You know, but ultimately, at the end of the day, we're going to have to risk assess each and every member of that team, you know, and come to a conclusion that, you know, these are people that we can co-invest with them. Because remember, you know, so when you come to the bank and say, I want you to fund part of my business, I'm contributing X amount in terms of my own money, but mm-hmm, your bank, you know, needs to lend me money to do this, you know. So in essence, you're inviting us to co-invest with you,
yes,
to take the risk with you. Now, as you would know, you know, you would never choose a husband, you know, that you don't understand. You know, it's some kind of a marriage, you know. So we need to be sure, you know, that the person or a group of people that we're entering into this partnership with, you know, is credible, you know, and we are happy, you know, to share the risk with them. So if you come as a group, you know, we'll still assess each and every member of that group,
mm-hmm,
depending on the legal entity that you use, you know, and come to a conclusion that is a good lot, and we are happy to co-share risk with.
Fantastic. It's been a wonderful conversation with you. We've certainly gathered quite a lot of insight here. And of course, research is the fundamental place to start, understanding the market that you're entering into. And of course, making sure that you're fully invested too, in order to see that growth in the company you're investing in. Thank you so much for joining us, Dumsani. Dumsani Beng is the head of franchise at APSA, who's joined us on the show today. Of course, Maria and T, and many of you who've also been participating on social media, thank you so much for your participation. We'll be back again tomorrow between 5 and 6 p.m. talking markets, and of course we'll have our business and arts feature.